Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for John, you can text those in right now, 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Well, I see the news. There could be another candidate for a defensive coordinator out there as the Ravens have fired Wink Martindale with a year left on his contract. How about that?
I know. I don't know if he'd be a fit here. Because, you know, he's more of a 3-4 guy than a 4-3 guy, but he's a good coach. I mean, a really good coach. A little older, but very wise. I know.
Are you surprised by that move?
No, because, again, they had a bad season. And so just like we saw with Ken Norton Jr., if you have a bad season on defense, and this was their worst season in years, you know, then you put yourself being vulnerable to getting fired like that. And I know that, particularly they're interested in Joe Culley, who had been down in Jacksonville, who had been on the coaching staff before. I'm not saying that he's going to be the replacement, but again, he's one of the candidates to replace. So, no, I'm not surprised. Again, you know, it's like we're going to see a lot of coaching moves happen here, particularly as early as next week, you know, because now some of these jobs are going to start to close. We already had, you know, a GM hired today with Joe Shane going to the New York Giants from Buffalo. That could take Brian Daboll and put him over with the New York Giants. So, yeah, things are going to really start to pick up. But I don't know if Wink's a real fit right now for Seattle.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. You know, it's funny when I was doing looking at the passing numbers as far as yardage given up, the Seahawks were 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens were 32nd.
Yeah.
They were giving up 280 yards.
I know.
You know, in the past,
what happened to him? I didn't.
They had a lot of injuries at the cornerback position, and they weren't real good at. And they had injuries at the safety position too. So they were kind of decimated. I mean, again, and where I say decimated, I mean, you know, John Harbaugh, you know, twice made the mistake, and I call it a mistake, of going for a 2-point conversion at the end of two games. Twice. And the reason he did that is because he didn't know if he had enough cornerback play to make it through an overtime. So, again, that's not on Wink Martindale. That's on basically injuries, bad luck, because the Ravens had one of the most injured seasons in football.
Yeah, and also, didn't they have a ton of COVID problems, too?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that's a good point you bring up about going for two there because
ridiculous.
The defense was so bad. But, John Harbaugh, though, I mean, it's pretty rare for him. I mean, he's probably one of the more underrated coaches as far as he gets his teams into the playoffs pretty often. I mean, he's right up there with, like, New Orleans, Green Bay, Seattle. So I'm sure there's no possible talk of John Harbaugh moving on from him or anything like that.
Well, there was a couple years ago, because remember, the owner wasn't too happy about 3 years ago with the way the direction the franchise was going and was thinking about letting Harbaugh go, which would have been a huge mistake. And so fortunately, they stayed with him and didn't make a change.
Yeah.
Hey, John, how surprised are you that the Panthers are going to hire Ben McAdoo as their OC? I last recall him being a punchline as the coach of the New York Giants.
It just shows you right now that nobody wants to go to work with Matt Rhule. You know, because the guy that they really wanted was Jay Gruden, John Gruden's brother, and they kept on entertaining him. You know, I think they interviewed him twice, and I think he ended up saying no. And so it's like they had to hire somebody. And because what everybody realizes, and that's why they're having problems getting coaches on the staff, is because most people think that Matt Rhule is going to get fired after next season. And if that's going to be the case, or you want to go someplace and just go for a year, if you're Ben McAdoo, yeah. If you're Jay Gruden, probably not.
Big news today, probably, John, other than the Wink Martindale thing. Titans activate Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And so for him, I'm curious, like, he's full go? Is he full practice, all that stuff?
I mean, full go, full practice, and part of a rotation, not the full game.
Okay, so they're going to kind of limit his,
reps a little bit. Have to. I mean, if they don't, then they're crazy. That would be bad coaching by Mike Vrabel if they try to let him do too much.
Yeah. Well, and then the other good one is Nick Bosa cleared his concussion protocol. So it seems like it's working out pretty well for the NFL because they want all their stars out there. But Andrew Whitworth, Taylor Rapp are both out for Sunday's game.
Right.
It's going to make it tough down in Tampa Bay. But Tampa had some injuries to their offensive line, right?
Yeah, the right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, is he's going to miss the game. And it looks like Ryan Jensen's going to play, but his ankle is really bad. And so, and you can see he struggled last week with that ankle to a point where, you know, he wasn't very effective, and it affected their blocking scheme. So that's going to be a problem. And then Jason Pierre-Paul looks like he's questionable for the game. I don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Of the games coming up this weekend, who's the most likely to pull off the upset?
Maybe Buffalo. I mean, I still think Kansas City's going to win, but Buffalo goes in there with a hot quarterback and Josh Allen. You know, a team right now that with Josh Allen running, they're doing a better job with the offense. So, you know, they're on top of their game. And so, and we'll see. Now, the big problem is for them is that they're not great at the cornerback position, and they're taking on a real healthy group of receivers right now for the Chiefs, you know, where the Chiefs last week had 404 yards passing and about 258 were yards after the catch. That could be a big problem for the Bills' cornerbacks.
You know, it's funny. We were talking to Moyer about this yesterday. He liked Buffalo.
Yeah.
The Bills are number one in a couple of different categories, yet when you look at their starting lineup, it's not like you see Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like they're a bunch of kind of – I mean, I know who they are because we played them last year, but it's not like they're big superstars.
No. Yeah, I mean, they're best defensive players on injured reserve, and that's Tredavion White. I mean, because he blew out his ACL, and he's their best defensive player. And so he's the one star they have on defense, but he's not going to be able to, you know, do anything in this game and hasn't since pretty much most of the season.
Do you agree with John, Bob? Because as far as an upset goes, and I don't know how big of a point spread it is, but kind of I think the Rams are kind of interesting going into Tampa Bay. I think that one might
be. Well, according to what I'm looking at here on ESPN's score page, the line is Tampa Bay favored by 2.5.
2.5.
That's what they have, and they've got the line is Kansas City favored by 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose any team that's on the road is pretty much the underdog.
Yeah. Well, what about the Bengals though? I think nobody's talking about the Titans. Now they're talking about them because Derrick Henry is going to start, but it felt like prior to that they weren't even being mentioned. So with all due respect to the Titans, the way the Bengals have been playing, they seem like they're ripe to pull off an upset.
They could.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why these are going to be such great games. I mean, the only game that I think is going to be a little bit more one-sided is going to be San Francisco at Green Bay. You know, because Green Bay's at home, it's a night game, zero wind chill. They've got Aaron Rodgers, and then, you know, I just don't know why and if Jimmy Garoppolo can do well, you know, with a bad thumb and a bad shoulder.
Sounds like so. Bowles interviewed today, with the Vikings. So you know, obviously a Zoom call or whatever. Went down there, but. It's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, going into how common is that happens when you get that kind of a thing going on? Because he's got to be putting a ton of time into the L.A. Rams, of course.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, that's what everybody's been doing. I mean, it's been because, you know, most of the coaches that are up for job candidates are, you know, in the playoffs or have been in the playoffs. And so they're all on Zoom calls. So it's happened, you know, I mean, again, and most teams have like 9 to 10 candidates, so it's probably happened, I'd say, 50, 60 times, if not more.
I saw Eric Bieniemy was being interviewed today, but it was which team was it? Do you remember who was talking to him?
Denver.
That's right. But they were saying that's so far the only team that has requested an interview with him, which I find surprising because he seemed like the hot candidate last year that didn't get the job, so I thought there might be more team, and maybe more will come to the front, but are you surprised so far that it's only one team?
No, not really. I mean, I think he doesn't do well in his interviews, and because of that, I think it scared a few teams off as far as bringing him in on the Zoom call or anything of that nature. So, it's disappointing because I think he can be a real good head coach, but again, he's not, you know, other than Denver, and I think Denver still, you know, they're going to wrap up everything on Sunday night, and if that's going to be the case, I think they'll make an offer to Dan Quinn on Monday morning, and we'll see where Dan stands on that.
What does that mean? He doesn't interview well. Like, I mean, I guess that could mean a lot of things. But I picture him up on the board, yeah, drawing up plays, or no, here's how I'd run things, or how they don't like his philosophy, or what do you hear about him not interviewing well?
One of the things that he does, he cusses a lot. Now, you know, John Gruden did that. A bunch of coaches did it, but you know, you're in an interview with an owner, and all of a sudden you're making some bad words and stuff like that, and apparently that scares a few teams off.
No kidding, huh?
That seems. I feel like every coach I've ever heard cusses a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess I get it. You don't want to do it in an interview, but no, the idea that an owner would be scared off by that would be.
I know.
Seems odd, but
well,
okay.
I mean, it seems odd, but it seems to be the case because, again, I mean, you know, Denver right now is Eric's only interview.
Hmm. Yeah, Bieniemy's fiery dude.
Yeah,
definitely. So
no doubt about it. And so yeah, you know, it's almost too fiery, and so it's like you know, maybe pay a little bit of a price for that.
Yeah, who's conducting the meetings? Derek Carr?
No, because Derek does not like any swearing.
I know. Hey, I see that Daniel Jemima put together his
Jeremiah.
Draft.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I call him Daniel Jemima.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you starting to even look at that at all, John?
Starting to, yeah. I saw that he had, I think, what, Washington at 9 taking, he had, you know, the first quarterback taken as the Pitt quarterback going at 9.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think he has three, you know, quarterbacks in there.
Yeah.
But the two that are really intriguing to me are Aiden, what's his name? Hutchinson.
Right.
The kid from Michigan, the defensive
end.
Just,
right.
Oh, my God, he's fun to watch. And then he has him at second. And then is it Thibodeau, the kid from
Thibodeau,
Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw he has three offensive linemen up top.
Yeah.
In the first five or six.
Yeah, it just seems like those two guys. And it just kind of goes to show you how pass rush and how the NFL values pass rush. So
I thought it was kind of ironic that I think the first receiver that Daniel has in there, you know, as the 9th pick, which is a little bit surprisingly low compared to the way the things have gone the last couple of years, which may say something about the wide receiver crop this year.
Yep. If you guys have questions for John, you can text him in 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. I feel like we've talked about this, but JD in the 509 says, Professor, is this the end of the road for Mike McCarthy and Jerry's world?
I mean, no, the road's going to continue for one more year. And if he doesn't do well, then he's gone after next season. So it's like they're not going to fire him now. I mean, they're standing by him, but they're not real happy. And Jerry keeps talking about how unhappy he is. And, of course, it looks like there's a decent chance, you know, you can see him losing a bunch of his coaches. I mean, we all know that Dan Quinn's going to get a head coaching job. We'll see about Kellen Moore. We'll see about Joe Witt Jr. And so it's like, they could be losing a bunch.
Has anybody interviewed Kellen Moore or requested that yet?
Yeah, there's been about three or four teams.
So you think
Denver being one of them, and yeah, what's that?
You think he gets a head coaching job?
I don't know. I mean, again, it's like I can't. You know, there's some teams that are leaning different directions. I mean, like for example, the one it's like the incompetency at Houston. You know, right now, Houston yesterday interviewed Josh McCown, and I think right now he's become the leading candidate for the job. They wanted to hire him last year, and he's never been a head coach. He's never really been a coach, and they may hire him as their head coach.
As far as GMs go, John, who are some of the hot names that are going around? Because luckily the Seahawks don't have to worry about that part. But who are some of the up and comers? Anybody with what about like Trent Kirchner? You know, some of the guys.
I mean, I think he was supposed to be on Minnesota's list, and I don't know if he's interviewed there yet. You know, I thought that the San Francisco had one that was going to be, you know, hired by the Giants, but then they end up with going with Joe Shane from Buffalo. So yeah, but yeah, there's, and again, you know, Chicago right now is just going crazy because I think they had 14 candidates right now for their GM job, and they're not even all the way through that list.
Yeah. And Trent's, what is he, player personnel?
Yeah.
Pro player.
Pro personnel,
pro player personnel,
yeah,
so
yeah,
for the Seahawks. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can imagine that there's going to be a pretty decent number of from the John Schneider tree as far as GMs go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John, somebody asking in the 509, will Jason Garrett ever be a head coach again?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think it looks good right now. You know, I think he, because again, he's not even up for some of these offensive coordinator jobs, surprisingly. So it's like it may be difficult, but you can't rule out anything because, again, you know, when you have 7 or 8 changes a year, then somebody's got to take some of these jobs.
Yeah, well, if McAdoo's getting a job, then he could probably find a job somewhere.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, and you know, already, I mean, you can start to see that you know, teams are figuring out, you know, who's could be gone next year, and it looks like it could be, you know, just like this year, a pretty big list.
It sounds kind of interesting. Not hearing many COVID problems.
Yeah.
For the playoffs, it's almost like it's just dropped off far as news goes. I guess good sign.
I guess that five day window has helped. You know, because now, I mean, you can, you know, they're not testing as much, and I mean, you can come back after 5 days if you do have some positives or contact or things of that nature. But yeah, it's been real good since the playoffs began after being it so bad. I mean, 961 players, you know, during the season, and so many of them, 70% of them in the last month.
Yeah. 253 asking, hey, John, does Derek Carr stay in Las Vegas?
I think so, but it depends. I don't know if they may hire Jim Harbaugh, and I don't know. I can't read Jim Harbaugh's mind. It's like, I don't think anybody can.
It's a dark place, John.
It is a dark place. And so, you know, it's like, you know, he'll have to make the decision on that. But, you know, you'd have to think maybe he would. But, you know, anything can happen on a Jim Harbaugh team if he takes the job.
Well, as far as, so you think San Francisco, I'm just trying to sit here and look and go, okay, who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Nobody knows.
I'm going, John. I'm going to go for it here. I'm going to say Rams-Titans.
Really?
Rematch. Bob. Rematch, yeah. Of...
In the Super Bowl?
L.A. Rams and Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like John doesn't agree with you.
I don't agree. No, it's like I'm nowhere.
Wait, John goes, no, nobody knows, nobody knows. And then when I throw one out there, oh, that's wrong. You don't know.
I like that. He's like, that's cute. That's a cute prediction.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah. I don't agree.
You don't agree, but you don't.
Go like 49ers Bengals or something like that.
No.
Would have been another rematch from way back in the day, right?
Yeah. Back in the 80s. That's
right.
I kind of feel like Green Bay is going to get there.
I think so, yeah.
That's pretty chalky, but yeah. I would take that, and maybe Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo is the surprise team in the AFC.
What about Kansas City?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
I don't know. Again, it's like nobody knows.
Nobody knows for a fact. Everybody, that's why it's gambling, John. You're gambling. Yeah, you're making a bet.
Good point.
So there you go. Hey, John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yeah, 8 to 11, taking your phone calls.
8 to 11, taking phone calls with the Professor John Clayton tomorrow, and you'll be back with us on Monday.
That'll be true.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
There you go. There's John Clayton. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. You know, nobody knows, but I feel like Vegas knows, Dave. I feel like Vegas has an idea.
They don't know.
They always, I mean, it's uncanny how often they're right.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, the most common score deficit is 3 points, all right? 3.5 points if you look at, you know, at scores week in and week out. So that's why they, you know, typically go with 3.5 as the home field advantage, whatever. So
yeah,
you can see in this ensemble, Bob, it's a dedication, an homage to Super Bowl 40 when the –
Rolling Stones were the halftime show.
Yep, and it's a big pair of lips with a football that is a tongue. Yeah,
that's a good one. You are do you have clothes just strewn about your entire bedroom right now?
I do. I had to start cleaning up here.
I just picture you going through the rifling through the drawers, throwing them everywhere, and you fold them, put them. I'm going to display this one next break, and next break after that, I'll display this one. You've already got it planned out, don't you?
Yeah, no, I just go with a feel, Bob. It's just a feel thing for the artistic mind.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So that's what you need.
What did George call that color that he had, or that what did he say? I was feeling autumn, or feeling. He was wearing. There was an episode where they were they were headed somewhere, and he was going to go with Jerry somewhere, and he was wearing a certain color clothing, and I call this autumn mist or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was something like that.
I had a whole bunch of T-shirts or shirts that I named. Jessamine and Danny were really into it. I had the mustard shirt. I had the goat, which was my favorite. There was all these different names, and Danny'd be like, "What do you got? What's the name of that shirt?" And I'd be like, "I don't have a name for this one. Okay, I'm not going to name every shirt, but just not feeling it."
Becomes too hard to keep track of at that point. All right, our thanks to the professor, John Clayton. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. And a reminder, we do have Mean Text coming up at 5:45 today, so you still have some time to get your submissions in. Just be creative. Text them in, 421-3776, 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, which NFL teams advance to the conference title games, and what can the Seahawks learn from them? We'll make our picks, and we'll break it all down next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, well, Dave's got his latest ensemble on here. You must be working up a sweat running back and forth there. What do you got there? Oh, that's from Chris. You got to hit mute, Dave.
Stop.
There
it.
You go. Come
it's
on.
Ralphie.
It's Ralphie from Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Love
You'll
it.
Shoot your eye out.
One of the classic movies of all time. Love that. You know that kid in real life is Vince Vaughn's best friend.
Is he?
Yeah.
What does he do now? Like,
he's like a, he produces. Yeah, he's behind the camera. I guess they did like one of those after school specials where it's like, and I think it was, God, what was it about? Like maybe teenagers using steroids or something like that. They were both teenagers when they did it. That's where they met, and they've apparently been best friends ever since. But it was like Jimmy, don't do steroids kind of show.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Katie, eat something.
Yeah. One of those
from Swingers.
Yeah, but by the way, Dave Craig will join us at the top of the hours. Dave prepares mentally for that conversation. You got to get yourself in the right headspace for that. Do you have to remind him?
I got to make sure I remind him.
He has
a hard time with the whole time change thing.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's so him. That's perfect. All right. Well, we were talking about this in the previous segment with the professor, and he was reluctant to give a pick. But who do you think wins the games this weekend? I think they set up to be great games. They couldn't be any worse than they were last weekend. Those were garbage games for the most part last weekend. So I'm hoping for some. I'm not that married to any one of these teams. I'm pulling for the Bengals. I'm pulling for the Bills. But just give me some good games. Give me compelling action that is close and comes down to the wire, and I'll be happy. But who do you like?
I like that Clayton is like, oh, that's ridiculous, a crazy, nobody knows. And then I make a prediction. He's like, that'll never happen.
Well, he was almost condescending, like, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's cute.
Yeah.
What was your prediction again, though? You said it would
Rams-Titans.
Rams-Titans. Rematch. That was a great half in that Super Bowl. The meeting, the Kurt Warner, you know, when they tackled Tyson at the 1 yard line. That second half was amazing. First half, not so amazing.
No, but remember how the Titans got there? The Music City Miracle.
Yeah.
Was that in a playoff game or was it in the AFC Championship?
That was the first round of the playoffs.
First round. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a legal pass? Do you think that was?
I
thought a lot of debate about that over the years. A lot of debate whether that was a forward pass or not. But all right. So you like a rematch of that classic Super Bowl, that classic half of Super Bowl, Titans, which would make Lefko very happy.
Well, you guys are jumping pretty far ahead. I just was going to say conference championship games because we have all next week to talk to. But go for it. Go Super Bowl also.
Well, but we'll have
more
to readjust
to be wrong.
Exactly. If we make Super Bowl predictions now, they could get blown up this weekend.
Exactly. So good for you guys for going that far. I was just going to say make your conference championship predictions.
Well, let's see where you're at, Lefko, because you're this classic fan. Anytime I ask him about the Titans, I'm like, what do you think this week? And you are the king of riding the fence by giving me, you should win, but I won't be surprised
not
if they
lose. Not riding the fence. It's classic pessimism. If you always think they'll lose,
But you're always
you'll never
right.
Be disappointed.
You set it up to where you're always right, saying they should win, but I could totally see them losing.
Yes, well, that's the story of the Titans.
But that's not a prediction. That's picking that way. You can come in the next day on Monday and go see.
No, I didn't. I don't do that though. It's pessimism. It's classic. Like I don't want to get my hopes up and then get surprised the wrong way. So I'd rather not expect them to do anything.
I think you've got splinters and then in your backside from
surprised.
Riding the fence.
No, I would say that they should win, and I will pick them to win.
It's like me and Dave Craig talking.
But
right
watching
now.
The game. If the Bengals start beating them, I'll be like, okay. Then I'll be disappointed, but I won't be distraught because I'll expect it to happen.
See, Dave? You see what he did there?
I said the Titans win, though. There's the prediction.
Titans win, but I expect them to lose. He just said he picks them to win, but he expects them to lose.
That's the worst part of fandom there.
But that's what it is.
I think I dozed off during the whole thing. Can you recap it for me? What happened just now?
Here's, in summation, he's picking the Titans to win, but he won't be surprised when they lose.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what.
Yeah.
So there you go. So your official
pick. I'm no
Morosi pick,
here. I can't be that optimistic.
Your official pick is the Titans win.
Yeah.
But no surprise when they lose. Okay.
Titans Chiefs, if we're doing a conference championship.
I'll be happy for you if the Titans win, but I'm pulling for the Bengals. I think the Bengals right now are a fun team to watch. They're explosive on offense. They're young. They're energy. It's kind of like they're playing with house money. I don't think anybody expected them to get to this point. Joe Burrow coming off that serious knee injury. He is just absolutely on fire and looks like he's going to be a stud. Ja'Marr Chase, I love that. I mean, that pick was universally ripped, not because Chase wasn't good, but because they're looking at a franchise quarterback coming off a severe knee injury, and you've got what they thought was a premier offensive lineman available that they didn't take. So they went wide receiver, and everybody was pounding on the Bengals for going wide receiver rather than O-lineman.
So, yeah, you know, and it's funny as far as that goes, I'm happy for them because you know, that gets clowned by people. And look, it's a long ways away. Maybe if we were in Ohio, you know, we would be having to take a side on it and everything. I just like watching it play out this way, that they were right as far as picking a player. But, I think the Bengals are kind of that's probably – you look at all the stories here. I mean, Green Bay, the Bucks, L.A. – You know, the Bills have been in and around it. The Chiefs have been, and they won a couple of years ago. I mean, yeah, they're probably the Bengals that are like the best story of kind of a great team that came from sort of nowhere. But the thing I like about the Titans is that they're so physical.
Yeah. And I'm wondering what's Derrick Henry going to look like? I mean, is he going to look like Derrick Henry? Are they going to, you know, baby step it? They're going to limit his carries. Is he going to be as explosive? It's going to be fun to watch that. And then for me, the one I have the hardest time with is Tampa Bay and the Rams, because I don't want either team to win. If there are a way for both of them to lose, I would root for that, because I can't.
It'd be better if Tampa Bay won for us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of. I mean, Tom Brady has become decidedly more likable since he's left New England. We've talked about that, so I know it's not about a dislike of Tom, but sort of done, man. You've been in the spotlight for an eternity. You've been to 10 Super Bowls. You've won a million times. It's enough already. I want to see some new blood in the Super Bowl, so that's my reason for rooting against them. And then the Rams, they're the Rams. I got to root against the Rams. So I just hope it's a great game. That one I hope is just a compelling game, but I don't even know which way I'm leaning. I don't know which would make me less miserable, Tampa Bay winning or the Rams.
Have you even thought about what you'll be feeling if the Niners pull off an upset in Green Bay? I mean, I think everybody just so dismisses that. But I don't know, man. I mean, as far as, Jimmy Garoppolo, definitely it would be shocking. But as far as the coaching goes and Kyle Shanahan, I mean, if the Niners and Rams win over the weekend, I mean, I think we should petition to go to a different division, man. It's going to be tough. Yeah, Arizona, I mean, three of the four went to the playoffs, and two of them are in the second round. So,
would the Niners be the most surprising winner? Because it's supposed to be like 6 degrees there, I saw.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know what the wind chill is going to be, but it's supposed to be in single digits to start the game, so it's going to be Arctic out there.
I think they said the windshield factor is going to be 2 degrees.
The windshield factor. That's perfect. That's perfect. And it's, I mean, Jimmy G, I got a guy on Twitter who's just blowing me up about how we're being unfair to Jimmy G. He's a top 15 quarterback and giving me all his stats. All right. I'm like, listen, he's shown where he can be good, but he's also shown where he can just make that head scratching, what are you thinking turnover, which he did in the last game. And in my opinion, they won in spite of him in the last. He's had turnovers in three consecutive games. So that's who he is. He's a guy who can make the great play and then just, has you sitting there with your hands over your face going, what are you doing? And then he's always getting hurt. He's going into this game playing hurt. So,
but he's really, really good looking, Bob.
I guess that's what, I don't know what it is, you know, but you want to make
Zoolander. The
case that we're being unfair to him. I don't think we are. I think he's a guy. I think he's a guy who's not always available because he seems to get hurt a lot.
He can't throw to the outside of the field. Yeah. I mean, in between the numbers, and Moyer's the one that kind of pointed that out in the beginning. I started noticing, and I'm like, yeah, he can't make those throws out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe they pull off the big upset on the frozen tundra out there. But meanwhile, we'll get into some interesting conversation at the top of the hour with Dave Craig. But one college basketball coach gave our a bleep button a workout. You're going to hear that next when we sweep the dial with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
See, this guy is the exact opposite of me, John Morosi. I'm the pessimist. He's the optimist. He would find pessimism and turn it into optimism. But even when he said this, I got a little worried because yesterday he told us, you know, don't get a little worried yet. Spring training won't be affected. Still have about 2 weeks. But I don't know. It doesn't sound like a lot of time when he breaks it down for us.
We still have about 2.5 weeks or so before I would really get concerned about missing time. We might miss some spring training games if we don't have a deal by February 10th or 12th. But I don't think the regular season really gets to be in jeopardy until you're talking about late February without a deal. So we are still a month or so away from the real danger zone as far as I'm concerned.
The real danger zone. Well, a new proposal is supposed to be delivered on Monday from the players. We'll see, and I don't expect that MLB is going to go, oh, we love it, let's sign. It's going to be another back and forth. I assume they'll reject it, but I hope he's right. I am desperately hoping his optimism is accurate, and I want to believe they're gonna figure out the situation and get the details ironed out and not screw up any of their momentum any more than they already have, and just understand what's at stake.
Yeah, I started. I don't think you can judge the proceedings in the future based on what's happened in the past, and. You know, just because it started off that slow doesn't necessarily mean I'm starting to jump on board with Morosi that I think he's right. Because when you think about it, if they say, look, we're a ways off, but let's commit to spending the next 2 weeks, you know, having just like a normal 8-hour workday where we are going to sit down and talk and hammer things out. You know, because the whole thing about, you know, waiting and walking off the lot, you know, and then coming back later and asking for something, letting, you know, the time expire, all those hokey, negotiating, techniques that people have, like the first guy to talk, you know, it just hopefully they ditch all of that because, you know, there's some things that they might be way off. But look, that's how you always start a negotiation, right? You ask for the moon and, you know, they want to give you hardly nothing and you find somewhere in between. Let's go. Let's just get to it. Hopefully they understand that what I think, and maybe this is just being a Mariner fan, but I think they've got a good amount of momentum going into this offseason or this next season, I should say.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, one team with a little momentum right now, the Kraken. They won their second in a row, and as we learned earlier, they have not won three in a row at any point this season. Mikaeli Yarncroke last night scored his 100th career goal and came at a pretty important time for the Kraken.
A tip high off the glass by Yarncroke. Yarncroke scores!
That's nice. I love it. I love that there's some positivity. There's some positive results for a team that's been desperate to find them. And the idea of a three-game winning streak, first ever in the history of the organization in a season full of firsts, Dave, everything's a first. And then they can aim for a first ever four-game winning streak after that. It's amazing how many firsts they can achieve here.
Yeah, that might get a little tiresome after a while. But they got the St. Louis Blues coming up.
Tonight,
23-11-5. What do you think, Lefko?
Well, they just lost to him, so they might lose again. But who knows?
Well, you're a downer. Lefko's really, really grim today. What's going on?
Yeah, I watched my college basketball team get beat last night. The Titans, well, I think they'll win, but wouldn't be surprised if they lose tomorrow.
What a half-hearted endorsement that is of his team there. I think they'll win, but when they lose, I won't be surprised.
Sweeping the dial.
Hey, at least I'm not Penny Hardaway, the head coach at Memphis, who, well, when he was hired, it was okay. You know, he brings the connections. How much of an actual college basketball coach can he be? They opened with high expectations this year. Memphis was ranked 12th to start the season. They fell to 9-8 after a home loss to SMU last night. And Penny Hardaway was not really having it in the press conference.
Because this media gets kind of sometimes when it comes to me. We don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these bull articles about me. All I do is work. We got young kids on the floor.
Yeah, you're not ready for coaching, my friend. I'm sorry. I loved him as a player. Used to love those little Penny commercials with Chris Rock. You got to have a different temperament as a head coach. I'm sorry. You can't sit there and talk about articles being written about you and you guys are being unfair to me. Stop it. Stop it. Some of it may be true. I don't know what's being written, but you can't acknowledge that stuff. You can't get out there and whine like that about, you know, don't disrespect me, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I know. He sounds like a player. He definitely sounds like a player. And that's just not how it goes. I don't know. Maybe every coach will start talking to the media like that.
It sounds whiny though, and I like Penny. I'm a fan of him, but I don't. It sounds like you're picking on me. You're not acknowledging I've got four freshmen out here. Come on, man. Be fair. It just sounds like you're whining. You know, that's what you do as head coach. You work with what's available to you. So, you know, the whole stop disrespecting me, bro, and the articles you're writing about me. Why would you even give them that kind of ammunition? It makes you look incredibly thin-skinned at that point.
Yeah, and he's just asking for it. I mean, that just opened him up to a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure that felt good at the time. It's one of those things that, you know, like when you put your fist through a wall, like at that moment, it just seems like a great idea. And, oh, this will make me feel better. And then you break your hand or you hit a stud or whatever, and you go, man, that was stupid. I think he's probably going to have that. He's going to have that reflection here sometime soon.
Yeah, I would imagine if he hasn't had it already. All right, coming up, we're not sure where this conversation will lead us, but we'll do our best to keep it on track. Dave Craig, Seahawks great Dave Craig, will join us next, and I'm going to sit back and just listen to the interaction between him and Wyman. It's going your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.